Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to remember those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must henceforth be forever cast into the abyss of dead names. In this moment of our remembrance, we prove with great grief and wailing the sincerity of our noble tolerance. What we once wrongly allowed in the ignorance of white privilege has become the cleansing rite of virtue signaling we use to prove our purity. Join with me now as we remember those we've lost. First, organized pantries. As Loyola University Associate Professor of Marketing Jenna Drenton recently woke-splained to us all, the social media trend of showing off perfectly organized home pantries is really a form of cultural imperialism, which she calls pantry porn. As she wrote in the peer-reviewed research journal The Los Angeles Times, quote, cleanliness has historically been used as a cultural gatekeeping mechanism to reinforce status distinctions based on a vague understanding of niceness. Nice people with nice yards and nice houses make for nice neighborhoods. What lies beneath the surface of this anti-messiness, pro-niceness stance is a history of classist, racist, and sexist social structures, end quote. So true. Just think about how the anti-messiness cartel persuades middle-class white humans that their status in society is defined by enough affluence to have well-stocked pantries, as well as the time to organize them neatly and keep them clean. Pantry porn is the new version of women's high heels, footwear so absurd that its only value was to separate the high-class woman from those commoners who were so poor they had to work with their feet. Yes, the storage cleanliness industrial complex has brainwashed the weak-minded wives of this culture who already suffer the mental impairment of believing that housework is most appropriate for a woman into thinking that they are better thans just because of their pantries. Now, clearly, we know that any woman with enough time to maintain a well-stocked, tidy pantry should really be using her time surplus wearing a pink knit hat and chanting slogans in favor of reproductive rights alongside her sisterin at the steps of the legislature. No, dear Womine Sheroes, do not be seduced by the pantry porn. Put down your wicker baskets and color-coded vacuum-sealed containers and let the dust settle across your cupboard shelves. Embrace the mess, allow the clutter, and beat your Swiffer sweepers into protest signs. For it is by social activism that ye shall be saved, and not by cleaning and sorting alone. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, Richard Dawkins, the famous atheist and evolutionary biologist, although perhaps no single living person has done more to advance the cause of anti-Christianity than Professor Dawkins, he said something this week which requires us to bring down the shimmering hammer of social accountability upon his wispy-haired head. Now, I do warn you, it's pretty upsetting stuff. For those of you concerned about feeling triggered, please insert the holy earplugs of ignorance distributed earlier in your authorized Coping with Unenlightened Society personal safety pack. For those feeling slightly more brave, feel free to suck on your CBD-coated snowflake pacifier, patent pending, if that helps. All safe? Okay, here we go, but brace yourselves.
There are two sexes. You can talk about gender if you wish, and that's a subjective. As a biologist, there are two sexes, and that's all there is to it. Sex really is binary.
I know. Normally, I would not share such outlandishly incendiary nonsense in a safe space like this, the Chapel of St. Madeleine the Conformist, but I want you to know just how bad this comment was. As you heard him say, he literally rejects the entire fifth dictum of the Protocols of the Elders of Science, Berlin edition, which teaches that the purpose of modern science is to validate the current moment's values regardless of evidence, reason, and history. It's almost as if he thinks somehow science is supposed to be independent of or even superior to social virtues like diversity, equity, and inclusion. Heretic! When he says gender is subjective, he's completely denying our core doctrines that gender is an absolutely objective truth about a person which only that person can know and which can change over time depending on that person's personal perspective. Like I said, objective. But of course, the real heresy here is the declaration that there are only two sexes, male and female, which he believes are defined biologically by some ridiculous indicator like chromosomes or reproductive capabilities, as if those things are even relevant in biology. And no, Professor Dawkins is not eligible for re-education in our many fine summer camps. He must simply be cast out for his blatantly unscientific belief in only two sexes. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
But really, the expungement of Richard Dawkins does give us a chance to praise those fine souls whose work he and that other unrepentant sinner Piers Morgan dared to criticize. The members of the Ecology and Evolutionary Biology Language Project, or EBLEP, who have helped identify 24 distinct terms currently used in science, which should be gently euphemized, such as double-blind study, because it is ableist and marginalizes the alternately visual, survival of the fittest, for being connected to eugenics and for platforming ableism, and discovery, which denies the long-existing knowledge of indigenous communities. But for our purposes today, the most important relanguaging recommended by the Eblapites is for scientists to stop saying the words male and female because they are heteronormative, binary, and cis-preferential. No, instead, the wizened thought leaders at Eblep recommend we use the term sperm-producing for male and egg-producing for female, or, if we're not wanting to marginalize prepubescent and postmenopausal persons, we should replace male with XY individual and female with XX individual. In this way, we can differentiate them not by the contours of their nether regions, but by the content of their chromosomes. Speaking only for myself as an XY sperm-producing person, I celebrate these new labels, if for no other reason than they are awkward and unnecessary, the two most important features of modern language replacement theory. Of course, we can easily see a beautiful, distant linguistic future in which we fully embrace these changes. Pastors will ask, "Do you, sperm producer Jim, take this, egg producer Susan, to be your lawfully wedded XX chromosome mating partner?" Every year in March, we can fill out a bracket for the NCAA XY Chromosome Carriers Basketball Tournament. And once and for all, we can simplify public bathrooms by offering one for sperm producers and another for egg producers, each with the respective signage picturing the relevant gamete outline rather than the current cruel and transphobic body silhouette. Oh, the sheer elegance of relanguaging woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
And now, with these cleansing rites performed, may we all go forth in loving tolerance and microaggress no more. Gametes to the left, gametes to the right, pick your doors wisely. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
626 here.